Good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crummery. Beginning next school year, elementary school students will no longer be dismissed 30 minutes early on Mondays. The Juneau School Board voted down continuing the practice during a meeting on Tuesday, with members citing concerns around impacts on families and the lack of data showing improvement. Board Vice President Elizabeth Sidden says the data doesn't show the effectiveness of the early release. She says she wants to find a different model that works better.
I want us to develop a more effective use of everybody's time to get professional development to support our students. And that isn't going to happen if we keep approving 30 minutes on Mondays.
Juneau elementary schools have dismissed students a half hour early on Monday since 2023. It was meant to allow teaching staff to meet and carry out professional development. Tara Colbeth is a teacher at Auk Bay Elementary School. She testified at the meeting that the time is important to give newer teachers the chance to improve their skills.
During these professional learning community times, we are able, mentor teachers are able to truly support and lesson plan, talk about management skills, instructional support, just really building strong partnerships with our younger teachers.
Board member Melissa Colm supported keeping the early release time. She says this type of professional development helped improve instruction when she worked as a teacher.
It is a collaboration of peers who might have something that's working and they can share with other teachers within the district or within their sites. And that's value added. It strengthens our teachers, it strengthens our students, and ultimately it will get us where we want to be with our data.
Still, the board voted 5-2 against continuing the practice. Students will be dismissed at their regular times on Monday beginning next school year in August. Juneau's pools, Diamond Park Fieldhouse, and reductions to social service grants are off the Juneau Assembly's chopping block, for now, while the City Museum, Mount Jumbo Gym, and Douglas Fire Station are still in limbo. Last night, the Assembly honed in on what city services and facilities it believes the city should continue to fund and what it should cut as the city grapples with a multi-million dollar budget shortfall. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
The Juneau Assembly spent 5 hours at a finance committee meeting on Wednesday night, piecing together what to cut and what to keep in the city's upcoming fiscal year budget. And as Assemblymember Ella Atkinson points out, these decisions aren't sunshine and lollipops.
If it were about what the community values and what is good for the community, I wouldn't be looking at cutting any of this stuff.
The Assembly is tasked with making difficult budget decisions this year, as the city faces an estimated $10 to $12 million recurring budget hole. That's after voters passed a tax exemption on food and utilities and a cap on the city's property tax rate last fall. At the meeting, the Assembly spent the time deliberating on a list of more than 40 potential service cuts and facility closures, and they decided which ones they'll consider moving forward with and which ones they'll take off the table, for now. They dug deeper into ideas like potentially closing the Juneau Douglas City Museum, the Mount Jumbo Gym, and the Douglas Fire Station. But they voted against closing Juneau's pools, the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, and slashing grants for social service providers. Mayor Beth Weldon, who attended the meeting while recovering from a sickness, said residents have made it clear that pools are a priority.
I think we need two pools. We have high usage, and we are surrounded by water. We just did a whole bunch of renovations to Augustus Brown, and the voters have shown time and time again that they want two pools.
The decision to keep the Juneau Douglas City Museum on the chopping block narrowly passed in a 5-4 vote. Assemblymember Maureen Hall said she doesn't support cutting back the public's access to Juneau's history.
I know we don't have the hordes coming out to support it, but I think it's really important to preserve our history and to make it available to the public.
But Assemblymember Christine Wall said she'd support it because of what else is at stake if they don't make significant cuts.
When I look at the numbers, we have to be talking about a facility. And when I hear the feedback from the public of which things really get them to come here and stay here, the museum simply falls lower on the list.
The Assembly also moved forward with potentially reducing the amount it puts towards its affordable housing fund, the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, the Jensen Olsen Arboretum, and city landscaping, and potentially cutting city staff's travel and training budget. But even with all those potential reductions and closures, some Assembly members worry it's not enough to close the budget gap. The Assembly looked at several options to bolster city revenue, including revising the city's sales tax cap on some higher-priced items and services, and lowering the property tax hardship exemption income level. The Assembly also voted to give Eagle Crest Ski Area a nearly $2 million general fund subsidy for the next fiscal year. The subsidy would allow it to stay open on a bare-bones budget, but would cut its staffing level nearly in half. Deputy Mayor Greg Smith, who voted in favor of the funding, said it would give the ski area a fighting chance to figure out its future now that the gondola project is likely dead in the water.
I believe we need to support them so we don't go into a revenue death spiral and people stop buying passes and they can't staff and collapsing Eagle Crest.
But Assemblymember Wall said she didn't support funding Eagle Crest in light of the other reductions they're considering.
It's just so hard for me to sit here and say that it's worth us doubling our investment when we are looking at cuts tonight to arts and to recreational facilities in underserved areas of our community and housing.
All the decisions made on Wednesday are preliminary and could be subject to change. The Assembly plans to further hone in on potential cuts and closures again next Wednesday. Residents will have another chance to testify on the budget at a meeting on June 8th. The Assembly is expected to approve the final budget on June 15th. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And National Geographic journalist Paul Salopek has been walking around the world since 2013. He's following the path of Stone Age human migration out of Africa and across the globe. Last summer, he landed back on his home continent of North America for the first time in 13 years. And soon, in Southeast Alaska, he will change up his travel method for the first time. Instead of walking, he plans to sea kayak down the Inside Passage.
10 kilometers of this stuff. It's enough to grind your feet off.
That's Paul Salopek in a video he posted last summer. He started walking in Ethiopia in February of 2013. He walked out of Africa, through the Middle East, Central Asia, the Himalayas, China, South Korea, and Japan. Along the way, he speaks with people he meets, takes video of the landscape around him, and writes up his experiences. National Geographic hosts the project, which is called the Out of Eden Walk. As Salopek describes it, the experience of walking this long journey is a way to connect with people around the world more deeply and more slowly than another form of travel.
I've likened it to a listening journey where I just open my ears and my eyes and kind of let people, hopefully, if they trust me enough, open their hearts and share their concerns and their dreams.
Last summer, he arrived in North America via a container ship from Asia. He started walking again at Beluga Point near Anchorage. He then walked down the Glenn Highway, floated the Copper River, and walked the outer coast of Alaska to Gustavus, where he is now.
Alaska is important in that global picture because, of course, it's the bridge to the Americas, where people, on foot and by skin-covered vessels, presumably, dispersed into this continent.
Salopek's arrival in Southeast Alaska marks a shift in how he will approach his journey. While he's taken boats when necessary to cross large bodies of water, he's about to take a small one as part of his experiment mimicking the path of human migration.
The methodology is going to change here in Gustavus for the first time. I'm planning to go south by sea kayak. And the reasoning there is that ancient humans who dispersed into this continent also used watercraft, and I want to honor that passage. So the plan is soon to be kayak paddling south towards Vancouver through the Inside Passage.
Of course, people today, not just thousands of years ago, still take small boats throughout Southeast Alaska. In just a couple of weeks, Indigenous people across the region and state will set out in canoes, as well as planes, ferries, and catamarans, to come to Celebration, the biennial cultural gathering in Juneau. Throughout Salopek's journey, he says he's learned that humanity, despite conflict and strife, has a lot in common. As of last June, he's traveled more than 21,000 miles total, 15,000 were by foot. Most people he's encountered are concerned about their families, their work, the economy, and the climate crisis.
As you sit down with somebody over a cup of tea or over a beer, and you spend enough time talking and listening, you'll find that their concerns are pretty much your own.
Since Salopek started walking 13 years ago, a lot has changed.
There are tectonic shifts happening in the world right now. I feel them even when I'm out walking in remote mountains, in the Himalaya Mountains in Central Asia, or, walking down the Glenn Highway in Alaska. I can feel vibrations under my feet that we all feel, that the world is in a phase of rapid change.
But he says the slow process of walking helps combat the dizziness we all feel in this moment in history.
Walking kind of slows you down so that you can see time in its fullness. And I think that helps put things into perspective, that what we're going through now has happened before, probably has happened many times before in human history, and that human beings are great problem solvers. We're a problem-solving species.
Salopek says his sea kayak journey will begin soon. He's ultimately headed for the southern tip of South America, where he will end his journey, having walked more than 25,000 miles. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cromery. And the federal government has decided against listing Gulf of Alaska King Salmon with Endangered Species Act protections. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said Wednesday that while kings or Chinook in southern Alaska have declined, their populations are still strong, genetically diverse, and well-distributed. The decision comes more than 2.5 years after a Washington state environmental group first called on the agency to list kings under the Endangered Species Act. The Wild Fish Conservancy filed the petition on the grounds that king populations have experienced, quote, significant declines over the last 2 decades, and that they face ongoing threats from factors including climate change. Emma Halverson is the group's executive director.
What we see is really a coastwide crisis that isn't unique to Alaska, but is not unique to any specific region. This is something that we need to really seriously think about if we're going to have Chinook salmon anywhere on our coast in 50 or 100 years from now.
NOAA in 2024 found that the listing may be necessary. But after additional review, the agency said this week that listing Gulf of Alaska Chinook is, quote, unwarranted. Had the listing gone through, it could have impacted fisheries and communities along the state's sprawling southern coastline. That includes the central Gulf of Alaska, but also Olive Southeast, Kodiak, and the Aleutians. The State Department of Fish and Game welcomed the news in a statement Wednesday morning. The agency argued that the Gulf of Alaska Chinook, quote, do not come close to meeting the definition for listing under the Endangered Species Act. The agency also said the listing would have shifted oversight of king management from the state to the feds. Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang acknowledged that king populations have declined across the state since 2007, but he also said the agency has taken the trend, quote, very seriously by imposing fishing limitations and boosting research on the issue. He added that some stocks have recently shown signs of improvement. Halverson of the Wild Fish Conservancy said the group is still reviewing the 400-page document released by NOAA. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it is 45 degrees and raining. The rain might ease up a little bit tonight, and tomorrow looks like it'll be partly sunny with a high of 54 degrees. And Saturday also looks dry. This is KTOO.